Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Weekly Weather, One Day Delayed. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And I'm sitting here on my floral couch today instead of at my bright red desk doing the radio show. So this is the radio show for the week of April 19th. And the whole idea of the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's going on in the heavens so you can see how it shows up in your chart, in your life, in your world, and that you so you can understand energetically how to work with the energies that are afoot. So we know last week was an interesting week because we had all those excitements going on with the volcanoes disrupting the flight. So we had a few things. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about when we can anticipate the volcanoes ending. And you may have very well had eruptions in your life because the energy of eruption is everywhere, and it will be until next week on the 26th. So kind of just go, okay, there's volcanoes in my life, and there's volcanoes in Iceland, and wherever they're erupting in your chart, your job is to say, okay, lava flow, what do I want to do about that? And work it out, because the idea is the universe is saying to you, we want to change the structure, we want to shift the energy, we want to release the tension, eruptions, that's the eruption part, and we want to restructure the land and build new foundations behind you. So think about what lava does. It pours out of the top of the volcano, and it solidifies. And as it solidifies, it forms new land. So like when I went to Hawaii when I was younger, they said, oh yeah, the whole land here, all the islands are formed by volcanoes erupting. And you kind of go, wow, it wasn't here before? Nope. The volcano erupts, the land builds, and suddenly there's a new island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So we're now having volcanoes in Iceland affecting travel and transportation. And, of course, we do have Mercury retrograde in Taurus. Taurus is a fixed Earth sign wanting to ground us, bring us down to Earth, so literally people aren't able to fly. And I do anticipate that the air channels or whatever will be back to normal by May 11th. It may be as long as May 11th, because that puppy is still going to keep erupting through next week, through the 26th for sure, because the Saturn-Uranus aspect does not perfect until then. Saturn-Earth, Uranus explosions. So explosions of Earth, and Uranus is in water, so in Pisces, so that's kind of, that's all the melting icebergs and the glaciers and the big chunks of ice flying through the air. And Saturn in Virgo, excuse me, is mutable. So that's lots of little particles. You know, when we think of there's fixed Earth of Taurus, there's the rock Earth of Capricorn. Saturn is, or Virgo is kind of like the movable stuff, the sand, the dust, the dirt. So the ash flying through the air is very literally Saturn and Virgo. Lots of little particles kind of moving along. So we'll talk a little bit about that, more about that. The other thing we had going on last week we talked about was there was a finger of God that was forming in the sky that's perfecting today, okay, which means all the back end of last week, that finger of God was shaping itself and sending and pointing. And the apex of the finger is what we always look at. That's the Saturn and Virgo part. And then the legs of it that propel it, or the kickstand part, that was the Jupiter in Pisces, or the Jupiter, I'm sorry, the Chiron and Neptune in Aquarius, sextile to the Aries new moon, which is when the explosion started, and then Aries sun as it moves to form that finger. And then opposite the Saturn, Jupiter is there in Pisces, lots of. Uranus is there in Pisces, explosions. So we've got this big energy. So think about where there was the explosion in your life. It should have been in the Virgo section of your chart, the back end of Virgo, 28 Virgo, where something happened. And there was something that you went, oh my God, I didn't see that coming. But it happened. And so you go, okay, that's the finger. It's pointing you in a new direction. Now remember, Saturn is retrograde. So whenever a planet's retrograde, it wants us to redo, restructure, revisit, revise. So when a planet goes backwards, we're asked to revisit the tasks of it. And Saturn was retrograde, or was in this area of the zodiac in October. So we're really back to the end of October last year, 2009, and we're redoing the story from that time when we said, oh, okay, that's how it is, eh? And then Saturn went into Libra for just a little smidge, and then now he's backing up in Virgo through the end of July, okay? So this is kind of a long patch. And our job when we're having a backup planet is to go back to that time and revisit. So like I had somebody come for a reading this weekend who said something to me about the fall. And I'm like, oh, really? I didn't realize that was happening. And it was kind of it was information I hadn't heard. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's good to know. Thanks for sharing. Because it gave me additional information that I need to pay attention to, okay? And I went, I gotta work on that part. And that's kind of what we're all having, is going back to the fall, back to October, and looking at that time and saying, okay, what are we doing? The other thing that's happening is because the finger of God kind of suspends things, we're literally in limbo. Because what happens when a finger of God forms is the planets are all competing and they all have different agendas. They all have different styles of things that they want. They're all in arguing mode with each other. So kind of like when you're trying to lift something really heavy with a couple of people, and you have to say, okay, you know, one's pushing, one's pulling, one's telling you how to do it. You got to go, all right, everybody shut up, count of three, let's lift. That's the best way to work with the finger of God. You have to live in the moment and lift the piece of furniture and go, okay, count of three, let's lift and move it forward. And then when you do that, then, okay, put it down. All right, good. Then start, lift, put it forward. Okay, put it down. It's understanding that living in the moment this week is also part of your agenda, as it was last week. So there's a lot of changes going on, a lot of restructuring because Saturn's retrograde, a lot of reorganizing, revising, revisiting the structures that you've created. It's not that you have to throw everything out, but you do have to modify, change, and adjust the structure so that it supports you better going forward. That's the idea. And you have to get those changes in place by the end of May, okay? Because that's when Saturn stations in Virgo, and he's going to then want to go forward and get into Libra and get over with this Virgo stuff and stop having to fix things and change things. The other thing that can happen, and I've saw this in a few clients this week, is the bad old you comes back. Meaning, you know, let's say you always kind of like to, you know, be attracted to guys that fooled around on you. So, you know, you meet a really cute one who's already got a known history of fooling around, and he's with somebody and he's asking you to fool around with him. So I had one client call me and I'm like, you know, you got this history with this kind of guy. And Saturn's back saying, have you learned anything yet? And she's like, I have learned things, you know, but I'm really attracted to him. I'm like, I know you're really attracted to him, but the guy's like with somebody, you know, adopting a child and hitting you up for a date. Come on, do you really want to go out with this guy? No, run. She's like, but the chemistry. I'm like, I know, the chemistry is fabulous, but what do you want for your life? I had another client, the old employer called her back and said, we really want you to come back. Now, they were really nasty to her, and they were very mean, and now they need her. And she's brilliant, and she's doing work freelance. So it's, does she want to take that job again? Probably not. These people were not nice, and she's making more money doing, and they don't want to pay her rate. They want to pay her less than her rate. So you know they're going to make her feel guilty if she doesn't do, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, no, you're making this much now at your new rate as a freelancer, highly respected and adored by your clients. Why are you going back to this bad old employer? It's understanding we're going to be asked to go back and look at what we're going back to and decide if that's what we really want. And I'm going to suggest to you it's not, although the temptation will be mighty. Mighty, mighty. Remember, Uranus and Saturn. What the universe is asking you to do when these two guys dance is to break your old habits. to break your bad old behaviors and come up with something new. Now, in my case, I'm still fiddling around with the gluten. I eat a cookie, I cough. Okay, it's like, all right, Ann, you've done this empirical experience 10 times. What are you still doing it for? So I went last night. I was up at a friend's house for the day and the dinner, and we had lovely crescent dinner rolls. I love crescent dinner rolls. I'd had the vegetables, I'd had the hummus, I had the iced tea, I had all the really healthy foods, the piece of turkey, the cranberry, everything healthy. But there were these little crescent dinner rolls sitting right there next to me. Actually, she had me make them. So I was even working with the raw crescent dinner dough, which I actually like to eat raw. And I'm like, crescent dinner rolls, oh. And I ate a couple. And then I started to cough. And I'm like, okay, you're going to pee on yourself, because when I start coughing like this, I pee on myself, which is really an incentive to not eat the crescent dinner roll. However, I eat them, I cough. And I started coughing, and she's like, wow, you really do cough when you eat bread. I'm like, I know. Did it stop me? No. Did I pay attention that I coughed? Yes. So the temptation is mighty this week. Last week, too. And it will be very mighty until the 26th, at which point the universe will say to you, Saturn's going backwards. We have talked to you about this before. Uranus is going forwards. You need to change. Are you willing to do so? And those two guys are having a little argument. So your job is to look at where they're fighting in your chart, the last degrees of Virgo and Pisces, and make the needed changes in that area of your life. And if you do that, things improve. And if you don't do that, you cough and pee on yourself like I do with crescent rolls, or you get involved with some strange guy who's very magnetic, but he's already told you he's got a huge story. Plus, he has 5 kids from his other 3 wives. Why would you go out with him? Or you kind of got to look at this and go, well, what do I really want? That's the key question here, is what do I want? And give yourself permission to move towards it. So that's the big story. The Saturn-Uranus opposition builds all week, culminates on the 26th. Big doings. The other thing that's happening, which we love, is Venus is super busy this week. Now, Venus is in Taurus, so she is the head of the parade, okay? So if we look at the personal planets, Venus and Mercury never are very far from the sun. Mercury's going retrograde, so we know we're going to be meeting all sorts of old people and old friends and old connections and connecting with folks. But Venus is moving forward, and this week she clears Taurus, meaning that she goes out of Taurus into Gemini on Sunday, but she's the head of the parade, and she's in a sign she loves, and because she's moving towards the back end of the zodiac, she's going to be aspecting a pile of planets. She's going to be aspecting Uranus and Jupiter, Chiron and Neptune, and Saturn, okay? So she's talking to everybody in the heavens. And because of the positioning of where she is, she's also got a couple of minor aspects, not to be confused or thought of as less than, because they're not. They're very powerful. She has a couple of minor aspects with Pluto and with Ceres and with the North Node and with Mars. So she's a very, very busy girl. And when we see Venus being so busy, the whole idea of Venus is to get clear on what you want, and to then, once you're clear on what you want, then to act on it. And if you do that, Venus will be happy, because she is right now in Taurus, and she is talking to everybody. So listen to her, and also you take the opportunity to talk to everybody that you know and say, you know what I'd really like? I'd really like this. You know what I really want? I really want this. Even if that person has absolutely no ability to deliver it to you, tell them, and do that through the back end of this week. The finger of God perfects Monday, Tuesday, and then Venus is super busy, super aspecting everybody Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then on Sunday, she goes into Gemini, where she gets much more flirtatious and chatty and related. So we want to watch the Venus energy this week, because unbeknownst to us, all the planets are listening. Well, not unbeknownst, because you're listening to the radio show where I'm saying to you, all the other planets are listening. Get your Venus out there and get her saying what she really wants. Get her talking. Get her verbalizing. Get her saying, you know what I'd really love to have is bup, 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 bup. And voila, as Venus moves into Gemini and all these planets start listening to her, things can happen. Because she has actually very positive aspects to the planets, particularly to Saturn and to Uranus. So she's going to trine Saturn, and she's going to sextile Uranus from her position of the last degree of Taurus. So she's talking to Saturn, who's going backwards, and saying to him, yo, big guy, you know what I really want? And I am agreeing to change the sextile. I'm agreeing to work for change, Venus sextile Uranus. But what I really would like to help me do this change is this. And Saturn in Virgo is hearing her and doing it. Now, we do have Mercury retrograde, okay? And some people are like, well, I don't really want to be talking about what my Venus wants while Mercury's retrograde, because what happens if it brings me the wrong thing? And I'm kind of like, it is retrograde, and it is in Taurus, so it's very, very down-to-earth and practical. The other thing is Mercury is going backwards, and Mercury rules Saturn, who's going backwards. So they're kind of like a double negative. Now, if you remember from your math, double negatives mean a positive. So maybe what you'll be doing is going, you know, I really don't want, even though he's very magnetic, I really don't want to get involved with this guy. So I'm just going to keep moving on down the road. I'm going to thank Saturn for sending him my way, and I'm going to go, gee, you look really enticing, but probably not my best choice. Show the cosmos and yourself and all your friends and family that you have figured out what your Saturn lesson is, that you're now ready to go to the next level. You're tired of being an apprentice. You're ready to go to the next level of a true and equal partnership. Because Saturn in Libra is saying to you, here's your partnership options. Here's your partnership ideas. Here's what you can have. But he's not in Libra yet. He's not in Libra again until July. But Saturn in Virgo is saying, do you understand how you've always picked this situation, or how this situation helps you, and why you use it, and how it served you up until now? Don't be mad at yourself. Just kind of look at it and go, okay, yep, that's the situation I picked. Now I need to come up with something else. Now I need a better version. Now I need a better vision. And take responsibility for the choices that you made, because you did make them. And the whole idea now is the universe is coming back and saying, so look again. Do you want to take responsibility for this? Or are you going to kind of go, oh, the passion swept me away? Yeah. No. Don't try it right now. Not a good time to try it. This is your final exam from Saturn. He's looking to see if you've actually figured out your habits and your routines. So when I start coughing with a crescent dinner roll, and then I'm worried I'm going to pee on myself when I'm out to dinner with my friends because I'm coughing so hard, it's like, Ian, what kind of idiot are you? Don't eat the food. I know better. Did I eat the food? Yes. Did I cough? Yes. Did I go to the bathroom a whole bunch of times? Yes. Was I worried? Yes. Was it fun? No. So next time, don't eat the damn crescent roll. Same idea here. What's the vision? What's your purpose? Where are you going? Lots of other food besides the crescent roll that makes you cough and pee on yourself, or whatever your version of it is. That happens to be my version, which I know is highly attractive. But I'm a Pisces moon, so I have a very sensitive nose. So I can smell it. That's the bad part. It's like, oh, no, it smells like urine. Oh, horrors. All right, so we've got that story going. The other thing we have happening this week, very major, but we need more time to really process it. Chiron enters Pisces. Now, Chiron's going to be in Pisces until 2011. So it's going to be there for 9 years, or 2010, 2011. And Chiron has an elliptical orbit. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long. So it was in Aquarius since 2005. So for the past 5 years, since February of 2005, you've been working on finding your tribe. This week on the 20th, it goes into Pisces. Now it's going to be in Pisces for a few months, and then it backs out into Aquarius and cleans up the Aquarius business. And then next February, it goes into Pisces for good. So we're going to talk more about Chiron in Pisces. But what happens whenever Chiron changes signs, we have a shift in how we're wounded. We have a shift in the wounding energy of the universe. Chiron in Aquarius has been talking to us about, well, this is the problem, this is the situation, this is the story, this is the tribe you don't fit in anymore. So when he goes into Pisces, he can bring up a sense or a feeling that you're kind of an orphan, and truth be told, you are. And we like to kind of avoid this at times, but on some level, we are all existentially orphans. We're born into this world by ourselves. We run around, we make friends, we have families, we make kids, we, you know, have lovers, we have our buddies, we have our whatever. But net to net, you know, we're by ourselves. And when the end comes, time to leave, we go out by ourselves, you know. So Chiron in Pisces makes us very aware of the fact that we are alone. And so there's an energy this week of really feeling alone and by yourself that will surface on Wednesday. And what you want to do is say, I know I'm by myself, I know I'm alone, but also it's Pisces. I'm also interconnected to everybody else. But generally when that aspect happens, there's this sense of, when it changes signs like this, there's a sense with Pisces of, I am by myself, and that's okay. But there's an awareness of it. There's an awareness that however wonderful and fabulous and great your tribe is, on some level, you're still by yourself. And that's okay. And we're going to be working with that. You're still by yourself, even though you're connected energy for 9 years. So you don't have to get it underground or coordinated or figured out this week. But do recognize that it is going to happen. And when it takes place, that you might feel a little bereft. And that's a very normal feeling with Chiron in Pisces. And we'll do more about that. But we also have that Saturn-Uranus, which I think is going to be the overwhelming the overwhelming energy that we work with this week. Okay, so let's talk in order what happens. So we start the week. Oh, and I completely forgot. The sun goes into Taurus this week. Yes, it is officially fixed spring. Enough of this beginning of spring. We're going to be in spring officially, and the sun goes into Taurus, grounding the energy and making us all feel much more comfortable on Tuesday the 20th. So forward we go. So Monday, today, we have the finger of God perfecting itself, and that happened, and it will now start to separate. So we're all going to feel a little bit less stress and strain. It's still an aspect. But as it perfects and kind of moves away from Saturn, as the sun perfects and moves away from Saturn over the course of the next day or so, we'll feel that the choices that we made last week are actually going to help us move forward, and we'll start to be able to move forward ourselves because we're going to get everybody coordinated to lift the thing at the same time. So they are making some noise about opening up some of the airports and I guess the NATO planes went up and came down with damage, so there's still stuff up there, so I don't know that we really want to be in an airplane. At least I don't want to be in one. Whatever. Forward, I'm not planning on flying. Sun is sextile to Chiron on Tuesday the 20th, and that is the Sun at the very last degree of Aries, sextile to Chiron at the very last degree of Aquarius, and they both change signs that day. Sun goes into Taurus, and Chiron goes into Pisces. So the 20th is a very, very important day, probably one of the most important days of your year. So you want to watch what happens on the 20th, because that's going to set the stage for a few things. It's going to set the stage for spring, and it's also going to set the stage for what the purpose of the finger of God was in your life. And it's also going to complete the finger of God. So it's going to say, you got to pick now, you got to choose, time to choose. And it's going to say, what's your vision for your future? What's your vision for where you want to go? Because you are alone in the world. What do you want to create? What would make you feel happy while you're here on Earth? So Tuesday is a very powerful day. And we never want to minimize how difficult fingers of God can be. Because the other thing that happens is if you're not on your path, it can feel like God comes down and gives your old butt a big whipping, kind of flicks your butt and says, back on path, hurry up, get back on path. And it's very directional. You know, sometimes I use the analogy of a mother cat comes and picks you up by the back of your neck and marches you over and plops you down by the mailbox. And you're like, what the heck's going on? It's the finger of God. It's taking you where it wants you to be because you haven't gotten there by yourself. So there can be a transportation issue in the sense of you can get carried someplace you're not too sure you want to go because it's time for you to go there. So I had somebody send me an email, and they said, you know, what happened was all this stuff, and they listed all this stuff that happened, basically removing them from their current life. And then they wrote, and you didn't tell me this was going to happen. And I'm like thinking, yeah, I did. I've been talking to you about how you have to get out of your current life. So the universe just took you right out, lost your job, you know, kind of boom, you were done. You're finished. Time to go. And so that said, it also understands fingers of God are self-directing. They direct us. Now on Tuesday, the moon is in Cancer, as it is on Monday. And so the closing aspect is a nice one. It's a, you know, it's a sextile to Saturn, so it's very productive. But Cancer moons are sensitive and very security conscious. So on Tuesday, you can be feeling highly emotional and like your security is getting taken away from you. It's not. But and if you thought you had that and that was secure, that was a false sense of security if it leaves on Tuesday. That really wasn't secure. And you have to understand that, okay, what is security really? What am I actually looking for? As that Cancer moon happens while we have that finger of God forming and we have the Saturn changing signs and Chiron changing signs, sextile to each other. Big, big, big. Almost as big as the Saturn-Uranus opposition because it's really emotional and it's got a profound sense of emotional transformation. Wednesday, we are officially in the fixed part of the season, and the moon goes into Leo in the afternoon right before 11, and we have a number of aspects with Mercury on Wednesday. Mercury talks to Chiron, so it says, oh, yeah, you just shifted yesterday. Wow, how do you feel now that you're in Pisces? You know, it's kind of like reporter on the street, and Chiron in Pisces is going, I don't know how I feel. I'm feeling very alone and wounded and all by myself. And Mercury joins with Saturn saying, on some level, the authorities are not necessarily giving you what you want because it's a parallel by declination. So Mercury, Saturn says no. So there's a little bit of a no energy with that. But we're feeling a little more creative and we're feeling a little more optimistic, so that's good. And we're not going to get necessarily what we want, but we are moving forward. Now, the closing aspect for the moon in Leo, which is things begun on Wednesday afternoon, Thursday all day, and until 11:30 on Friday, is an opposition to Neptune. So essentially, you're delusional, as is everybody else, because the moon opposite Neptune says, there's the dream, and moon in Leo says, and I'm the king or the queen, and I'm going to get the dream, and Neptune says, ha ha, fooled you. No, you're not. So the idea with Neptune, what it does is it asks us to believe in magic and to follow our hopes and to try it and to go for it, even if it's not going to come out the way we wanted. Because in the trying is the dream. It's not about, you know, if you talk to people that actually had a big dream and realized it, when they get it, they kind of sit and look around and they go, okay, I got my dream, now what? And that's a really difficult place to be because you got your dream and a lot of our life is spent questing or wanting the new dream or wanting the vision of what it is we don't have or wanting, desiring, going for, creating. And when you actually catch it, it's kind of like, oh, it's over. So, like, I have this kitten. You've heard me talk about Remo. When I play with Remo with the bird toy, you know, it's like a toy with feathers that I can fly around the room. When he catches it and he starts chewing on it, he looks up and he's like, oh, that's not so much fun anymore. And he rips the feathers out really quick. But it's much more fun when that bird isn't caught. So one of the things that I want you to look at Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning is the bird that you're not catching and to say, I know I'm enticed by this bird, but is this actually a bird I want to chase? Remember, Saturn's testing you with your bad old behaviors or your bad old choices or your, let's not call them bad, your previously conscious made ideas, whatever, I don't know the right word for it, but he's sending you a test. He's saying, here, you like this. You like crescent dinner rolls, Ann. You know, and actually I had a dream about those little pigs in a blanket, you know, where you wrap the, and I thought, I'm not going to be able to eat pigs in a blanket anymore. And then I had crescent dinner rolls that night, right? So I'm really having problems with this gluten, as you can tell. So, you know, the test comes, the invitation comes. It looks really good. And you go, man, that looks so good. I really want it. And you have to kind of think, do you really want it? What is it you really want? Moon in Leo, opposite Neptune, says somehow you say you want it, but what are you doing to get it? You say that's your dream, but are you really acting like it's your dream? Are you really doing what the steps are that are necessary? And that's when the universe is going to be calling you out, in a sense. It's going to be saying to you, you know, you said you wanted to do this, and so I gave it to you. And now, let's see if you do it. And I think that whole actions speak louder than words things is a very good thing to apply to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. To your own self, say it, and to other people, say it. Actions speak louder than words. The other thing that's happening on the 21st, actually, we did the 21st. Now we're going to the 22nd, April 22nd, Thursday. Venus is very active, so she has an opposition by contraparallel to Neptune. So she looks at the dream, and she goes, you know, that was my dream. Not so much anymore. Not so much my dream anymore. And she has a quintile to Mars. And what the quintile to Mars is it says, what's your new dream? What's your new inspiration? What's your new idea? Where do you want to go? And Venus quintile Mars is very much about, wow, that's my new direction. That's what I want to do now. That's what I want to chase. So when I open that cupboard and Remo comes flying over because he knows that's where the bird lives, it's also where the cat food lives. It's a very robust cupboard. It has catnip in it too. He comes whipping over like, okay, we're going to play with the bird or we're going to get food. Something's coming out good. Venus quintile Mars, and he's happy with either option. He could skip lunch. He's not so important. But he wants what is in the cupboard. And so Venus quintile Mars on the 22nd says to you, you want something, and give yourself permission to go for it and to name it and to step forward to it. When we get to the 23rd, we have the moon in Leo in the morning with bad aspects. And then we have the moon in Virgo in the afternoon with good aspects. So Friday is a power day. Lots of aspects in the sky. And the moon shifts from Leo, the desire, to Virgo, the practical. And the Virgo moon has lovely closing aspects of a conjunction to Saturn. So basically Friday afternoon, Saturday and Sunday, your chart is in the mood to kick butt, take no prisoners, and get enormous things accomplished. Whereas the, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday morning felt torturous or that the dream was falling apart, Friday afternoon, Saturday, Sunday, power days. So on the 23rd, Mercury joins with Mars. Again, it's about giving form or being able to say what the idea is. So when Mercury joins with Mars, we're able to take action, and that's probably when they're going to start giving a little bit more of the all clears for the planes to fly again, tentatively, in some of the more remote areas. We also have Venus square Neptune on the 23rd. So Venus, when she squares Neptune, what she does is she looks at what she previously was enamored of, and she goes, why was I enamored of that again? What made me fall in love with that? What was the call? And oftentimes when we have a big Neptune transit, we lose our mind. You know, we fall madly in love with whatever is before us that Neptune brought us, and we're like crazy. We're out of our mind. We're in love. We're floating on air. We're running down the street. We're like, you know, wild. And then there comes the day when we wake up and we go, what did I see in that? Venus square Neptune, that's today. So you're going to have a what did I see in that moment today? And you have to say, what I saw in that was I saw the invitation to transform and to transcend my daily life. I saw the invitation for the dream. And the dream is oh so powerful. And I gave myself permission to follow the dream. And it may not have turned out the way I wanted, but at least I had a dream and I tried. And that's what Neptune does. So watching that Venus and Neptune on Friday is know the dream is before you. It started to take shape. You've done it. Yay, hooray for you. At the same time, it needs to change a little. So that you need to change a little bit how you create it. And Venus is in a biquintile to Ceres, so she's really going to be able to change the dream. And she also is in the sextile to Uranus, so she wants to change the dream. And she's about to trine Saturn, so she can change the dream. So this is very, very powerful. You know, she sees the dream for what it was. She understands what she wanted to create. She understands what needs to be changed to get it where it is. And she has the power to do it. All of this 23rd, 24th, 25th. So it's really very powerful days. And my only bad feeling about it is it's on the weekend. But it doesn't mean it can't be done. You know, you can have these great ideas and really push, because most of us aren't in the office working on these. But these are our dreams for our life, too. So even though it is the weekend, think about what the vision is of where you want to go. And that little Virgo moon, it can be neurotic, it can be nasty to yourself, but stop being nasty. Just say, you know, I got clear on the dream. And that is the purpose of this. So now that I'm clear on the dream, now I know which way I want to go, and I'm going to start heading in that direction. Because I'm clear. I finally got clear. Now, when we get to Saturday, again, Venus has really powerful aspects. She has got the trine to Saturn. She's got a biquintile to Pluto. And she has a semi-sesquiquadrate to the North Node. So you want to watch who you meet on Saturday. You also want to watch what you accomplish and where you go. And you also want to really pay attention to your dreams upon awakening, because Venus trine to Saturn gives enormous power to create and form. Now, Venus is in Taurus, remember. She's at the last degrees of Taurus, and she's trining Saturn retrograde. So she's going to say to him, hey, big guy, this is what I need you to fix for me to be able to have what I want. And Saturn hears her, and he's going to go fix it between now and May 30th, and then he's going to say, okay, it's as good as it's going to get. Let's move. Remember, nothing's perfect. Saturn in Virgo wants perfection. Moon in Virgo wants perfection. Nothing's perfect. You write a joke, people don't laugh at that exact moment that you think they should. You have this brilliant idea for something, and you know, you add a little bit too much tarragon, and it's a little too tarragon-y, you know, and you kind of go, that soup was really good, but I put in too much tarragon. It said fresh tarragon. I put in dried tarragon, and then the soup made it really cook, and now it's really tarragon-y. And you go, okay, so next time, a little less tarragon. Write a note in the margin of the cookbook. It's understanding, it's tweaking time. Moon trine Saturn, moon sextile Uranus. Tweak to change it. You don't have to throw it out. You have to change it. Modify, adjust. The other thing that happens on April 24th is the sun, which is Saturday, the sun is trine to Ceres, which is a lovely creative aspect. Ceres is in early Capricorn. The sun is in early Taurus. So it's really in the mood to trine creation and really get things moving. And the moon in Virgo is a solid, reliable, dependable, good planting moon, good weekend to work in the garden, good weekend to have the vision for the vegetables you're going to eat in August. Forward you go. Then we get to Sunday the 25th. Now remember, in the next day, we have the Uranus-Saturn opposition peaking. So underneath all this really positive energy is this real push for you to change your direction, change your ideas, change your structures, change your reality, and move it towards what you want. So the 25th is going to be a high-tension day. We have a lot of aspects in the sky, and we have a lot of activity. Venus changes signs, and she goes into Gemini. The sun trines Pluto, saying, okay, I'm ready to go. It also has a biquintile to Saturn. saying, okay, let me get that idea that Venus had with you yesterday and figure out how we're going to put it together. And it also has Venus square to Chiron saying, here's your wound. This hurts. Ouch. And just own that there is a wound. We all have it. Everybody's got one. When I talk about people's Chirons in a reading, they start to cry. This is going to be triggering the wound on some level on the 25th. And you simply have to say, okay, where do I want to go next? The next thing that happens is we also have a very strong Mercury aspect. So Mercury's quintile to Neptune and square to Mars. This is one of those aspects where people can fight over really, really stupid things, and you're not actually fighting over what you really want to fight over. You're fighting over something really stupid because you're frustrated. Go back to early in the week. Go back to what happened on the 21st and the 20th to see what you're actually fighting about, because on the 20th, or the 21st is when you put it in the ground, and that's now it's picking a fight. But it actually happened last Tuesday or last Wednesday. And then last but not least, Juno is in conjunct to Ceres, saying, okay, I can't partner with this thing the way I used to. I have to change the way I'm going to partner, and I have to give myself permission to try a new way. And so Jupiter's quintile to Juno says, let me partner with it slightly differently. Again, we're working with a Virgo moon. Moon goes into Libra in the afternoon on the 25th, around 4:16 Eastern time. And we get to 3:45 on Tuesday, and the closing aspect is a trine. So the dreams of Friday, of Sunday afternoon are very good, and we go forward with them, and it all should be good. So forward. So we've got the opposition with Saturn-Uranus, part four. That also is bringing up the story from February of last year and September of last year, and it's bringing up the story from November of 2008. This is part four of the part five. There's another one coming in July, but this is four out of five. We're done, and this is the change and evolve the structures in your world and get them into a new place. That's the whole point of this energy, this whole bouncing back and forth that we've been going through since the fall of 2008. Is what's our vision for our future? What's our vision for reality? What's our vision for where we're going? And even though I have to say I don't really agree with the teabag people, they're doing it. They're out there jumping up and down in the street, yelling about things and trying to make some changes, if for nothing else than to say they want to go back. And then the rest of us are going, okay, we're going to go this way. So it's very much a time of big change. The other thing you want to watch is when there is this much change in the energy, you can feel really tired. So give yourself extra sleep. This is a very good week for the big spring cold to come in, because the Uranus-Saturn is a lot of disturbed sleep and disturbed dreams. So also note your dreams, because if you're having disturbing dreams, it's your psyche trying to talk to you. Now, because we are doing this show slightly delayed, I apologize, because I was eating crescent rolls last night, I have a number of emails with questions from people, which I'm going to go through. We're going to do reader mail, because I haven't done this in a while, and kind of cover it. So Elizabeth wrote, kudos for your accurate prediction that many partnerships would dissolve under this week's astrological aspects involving Juno. That was last week. Larry King and his wife have filed for divorce. Tiger Woods and his wife, she's rumored to be set to file for divorce. Jim Carrey and Jenny McCarthy have announced their split, and Mel Gibson and the mother of his new baby just split. So forward we go, and I'm sure that Sandra Bullock and Jesse James will be next. Thank you, Elizabeth. When Juno is under siege, we often see the relationships really bouncing. Okay. And Kim wrote, I have many friends in their Chiron return, and it seems like an awful transit. I think I answered this one before. It is an awful transit, Kim, because it happens when you're 50, and you get that sense of 49-50, and you kind of feel like, shit, you know, is this my life? And the answer is yes. And then you go, and you go, okay, it's my life. Deal with it. Let me work with it. Let me come up with a way to handle it. So if you don't want to deal with it or work with it, it can really be nasty. The idea being, wherever your Chiron is, that's the area that you really, really want, but you really are not getting in this lifetime. Or you're going to be deeply frustrated in getting in this lifetime. And your idea is, because Chiron never really quite healed himself, was never able to heal that wound, the idea is you're supposed to work on healing it, but it isn't a place that can be healed. It's kind of like it got really, you know, it's just too sensitive, too deep, too much part of your soul. You can't fix it. So the degrees approaching, I like 10 degrees. So the Pisces people, we're going to start your Chiron return this week when Chiron goes into Pisces, and about 2 degrees after. And the good that comes from the Chiron return is an awareness that you're a human being on Earth, and sometimes life is hard. I really can't come up with anything positive about the Chiron return. I don't know. It's not one of those happy ones. All right, then we got a letter from Katie, who said, I love your columns and podcasts. Thank you, Katie. I have a wild question regarding Tuesday and Wednesday this week when you pointed out specific periods of time for probable communication mishaps and misunderstandings. I'm curious as to, in the online world, this whether this applies to when the sender writes the message or when the receiver receives the message. Should a sender first think, this person might receive this message during the bad time, so I should put off writing it? Or would the astrology only apply to when a receiver receives the message, and therefore whatever's in the message, the reaction depends on what is read? I hope this makes sense. I'm curious because a relative read something I'd written much earlier in the day during the bad time and went off the rails at me. Thanks for your wisdom and sharing your knowledge. Okay. One of the things we always want to watch with astrology is that we are the transits in other people's charts, and they are the transits in ours. So your aunt or your relative had a bad transit, and you're the one that caused it. Now, that's not, you're supposed to cause it. It's part of what your job is. That's why you're in her life. And whatever that email was set her off, and that's okay. So when I list times that there's problems coming, basically watch out. So if you read something, don't take it personally. Or if you send something, don't take it personally. If you know there's a bad moment later in the day, and you send something, and then someone calls and yells at you, go, oh, right, there's that bad communication thing. And remember, Mercury is retrograde, so everybody's really in the mood right now to not be hearing or seeing communications properly. They're going to misinterpret. They're going to mishear. They're going to not take what you said the right way. And you have to just kind of go, okay, I'm in communication. And also, we're having these really wicked aspects that are making everybody very volatile and highly emotional. So when I list a time, what I'm using is the ephemeris time, when I look at when the aspect actually peaks. So you can look and you can see. Now, sometimes it's in the sky, and sometimes it's in the chart. So literally when the sun went into Aries, boom, the volcano started to erupt, right? Very literal, sun and fire, time for fire to appear in the world. Other times, it's going to be a moment that you're going to really just notice maybe difficult communications in the world, or people are going to say, oh, man, I just got some horrible news. And it is really time to it. It's fascinating how it works. I have no idea. But I do love it, because when you see those aspects and you go, oh, that's a little nasty bundle, you can anticipate that people are going to get bad news that day. And I would say to you, if you know you're having – or you know we're having bad communication days, better to not fight with the gods. You know, the whole idea of disaster, is going against the astrals, against the stars. And consider is working with the stars. So consider actions and that you're going to take when the planets are bad. And don't poke and create disasters by doing things that the stars suggest maybe is not a great idea. Doesn't mean you can't do it, just means anticipate there might be problems. Okay. What does it mean if I was born with both Mars and Saturn in Leo in the 8th house? And what does the 7th house represent? Would I recommend a good book to learn about this? I'm interested in figuring out my money house. And that's from Nellie. Okay, Mars and Saturn in Leo in the 8th. Well, those are malefics. Mars and Saturn are mean planets, and they're in a hard house. So what that says is you want to really work on being very conscious of when you get angry, Mars, and when you feel restriction, Saturn, about relationships. Because what can happen is you can pull in situations that are difficult for yourself because Mars and Saturn are in what's called an unconscious house. They're in the psychological placement, psychological house. So you can really clear these energies out very well with therapy. And you want to kind of look at when you're in relationship with someone, if they're proud, Mars and Leo, or if they're cheap, Saturn and Leo, or if you're cheap or proud, because that energy is in the eighth house and it can act kind of weird. So when you're born with those, what you want to do is you want to look at the energy of how you give yourself permission to shine. Because Leo wants to shine. And Mars in Leo can be a little puffy and it wants to say, hey, didn't I do a great job? I'm really... And Saturn in Leo says, oh, it's not good to shine. If you shine, bad things might happen to you. Now, interestingly, Mars in Leo has in the sky has been dancing back and forth in early Leo. It got us from 0 up to 20, and now he's backing up, and now he's going forward again. So you've been having an opportunity to learn how these energies work. The other thing is whenever you get in any kind of debt situation, you want to be really, really clear what the terms are, because with Mars there, it can accelerate it, and Saturn can make it difficult to pay it off. You also want to be very clear about your taxes, because Mars and Saturn and Leo make for the IRS and you to be good buddies. You also want to recognize that part of your desire to connect and relate to other people on a deep level can be a little challenged if you're not feeling respected or loved or connected. So it's very important that you find partners that respect and like you, because otherwise it can cause major debting problem. The seventh house represents partners. The eighth house represents partners' money. So the eighth house, Mars and Saturn and Leo, can also represent how partner feels about their money. They have it, but they don't like to spend it on you. Or they have it and they spend it on themselves very fast, but they give you a hard time about it. So you want to kind of watch how that partner shows up. And a good book to learn about this, if you're a little bit past beginner, I always recommend Liz Green's book on Saturn, A New Look at an Old Devil. I also like Bill Tierney's book on Saturn, because I think it's pretty good. And I like Sue Tompkins' book in general on aspects, as well as Betty Lundstedt's book on psychological aspects. Saturn and Mars in combination suggests that when you were born, your dad was having some trouble being able to assert himself in the world or in the community or with his older sibling. And you were born into that transit. And Mars Saturn can be a little bit on a bad day, like driving with the brakes on. But on another day, on another way, it can make you very, very creative. It can make you make money from your creativity or your art. It can give you enormous gifts around performance and being able to create via performance. And it is a money house. The eighth house is a money house. It's your money and how you're valued by other people. And those planets also then, of course, shoot their energy across into your second house and say, let's stimulate that second house. So I hope I answered your question, Nell. And I would start with Liz Green, Saturn, A New Look at an Old Devil. Next, from Joanna. I keep reading from you and other astrologers to get rid of all those things we don't need. How far should we take this advice? As I look over at my window ledge where I place pretty stuff that I don't really need, but it's stuff that I like. I have more in storage. No room at this time to place it out to look at it. What I think, Joanna, is rotate. You know, my friend Melissa is like, why don't we put up the art you like and then we'll rotate the art, we'll rotate the pictures off the wall and put up pictures, because I don't have enough room on my walls for all the pictures I want to hang. I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. We'll rotate it. I think what you want to do is the stuff that you love is keep it. The stuff that you don't love, you don't use, that you don't need, get rid of it. But if you love it, keep it. It makes you happy. That's the whole idea. The whole idea of this transit, to get rid of the stuff you don't need that doesn't make you happy. We should probably add that. Stuff we do not need that doesn't make us happy. That would maybe be a better way to clarify. The stuff you like, keep it. And then your next question is, what's in the future? Will we be back to living in caves for whatever reason? No, I don't think we'll be living in caves, but I do think we'll be much more focused on the local environment, where there will be limited shelf space because you're in a cave. Or will we end up being like the bush people, moving around looking for food on a daily basis? Thank you for the site. Sincerely, Joanna. I don't think we'll end up like bush people. I think we've done a lot of work to get out of that mode. However, with Pluto in Capricorn, what we are going to be asked to do is look at what is deeply, truly important and to really focus and pare down and get clear on what is the most important thing. And if you know that, the rest of it's all supporting that. And a lot of times we chase things that really aren't important, but that are part of our thoughts about what we have to be, whatever we think we're going to get when we get that. And really, most of life is about the process. So I don't think we'll be living in caves. I think we'll still have cell phones. I think we'll probably go towards more local, and we'll definitely be paying more attention to what's going on with Earth, with Pluto and Capricorn. But I don't think we're getting rid of central heating, which is one of the more important things about not living in a cave. All right, next we have from Lynn Dana. Hi, ladies. Thank you for doing weekly weather and Access Astrology. As a student of astrology, you've definitely upped my interest. Right now, my ascendant in Jupiter, 3 Capricorn, and Moon in Aries, 5, Moon 5 Aries, are caught in a massive T-square. Yes, they are. With Pluto and Saturn. Pluto is at the highest point in my chart, a loose orb, conjunct with my midheaven, and Saturn is the ruler of my chart. It's dark in here where I am, but I kind of like it. Any help or insight would be awesome. By the way, there's an astrology community, Lindaland. We're all budding astrologists, and we love your weekly news. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lynn Dana. Yes, it is dark in there. You know what I would say to you is Pluto coming to your ascendant Jupiter is probably one of the most profound, transformative energies you're ever going to have. And that's the place to focus. With Pluto, it's normally high in your chart, so it's up at the midheaven. So you can kind of get into power struggles with authority figures. And you really have, you need your authority figures to earn your respect and not just say, I'm the boss, you're the slave, do it or else. You know, you can't deal with that kind of person. With Pluto coming to the ascendant, first off, we'll talk about that one, then we'll talk about Pluto to Jupiter. Pluto to the ascendant, think of them as two transits, because essentially they are. Pluto to the ascendant, what the universe does is it comes to you and it says, I'm taking Pluto out of the 12th house. Now remember where Pluto's been. He's been in the 12th house for a while. I'm taking Pluto out of the 12th house, out of the darkness, out of the closet, because the 12th house is our closet, out of the dustbin of your chart, because the 12th house is the dustbin of your chart. And I'm about to make you see him in a whole new way. And you will. And as Pluto goes forward into the first house, you'll undergo a major transformation. Secondly, Pluto joining to Jupiter, that's the wealth of the underworld. So as Pluto comes out of the 12th house, it is the gold, the diamonds, the riches, the oil, the power, the glory, the wonderfulness, and the profound transformation of your life. And Jupiter, Pluto, really, really transforms yourself. So it's huge. So focus on that. Open up the triangles. Make sure that everybody's all in the loop, all informed. Don't be afraid. Hang with Pluto. He's actually kind of fun. And, you know, he's on your ascendant. Once he gets into your ascendant, you're going to find it's a whole new life. And that's the end of the show. The British lady has come on and said 60 seconds. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City. And this is the weekly weather where we sit and we talk about what's coming up in the heavens above and how you can use the energy productively. And next week we'll be back at 9 o'clock on Sunday night, and I thank you for your patience and indulgence as I ate crescent dinner rolls last night and coughed and coughed and coughed. And we have some more letters that we didn't get to, but we'll work on for next week. And have a great week. Remember, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Saturn is watching. Uranus is paying attention. Pick the life you want. Forward you go. Take good care. Bye-bye.